I want to draw your attention again to the words of Jesus. I've been preaching for many, many weeks now, getting into months, on who is this Jesus. We investigated some of the great things that he did in his life, and then we began to investigate his teachings, embodied in the Sermon on the Mount. And we have gotten to chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus, in teaching, made this awesome statement: "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and they are few who find it." Jesus here teaches that there are not multiple ways to receive eternal life, but only one. He is making a lot of statement just in one statement. There is not a Buddhist way in. There is not a Muslim way in. There is not a green way in. There's only one way. And Jesus said it is narrow. And it has to be found. He teaches there are two paths in life to follow. And everybody in the world who has ever lived and will live and is alive today is walking one of those two paths. There's no middle ground. There's no middle path in between. There's only two. And everyone is walking on one or the other. One is a broad road which is easy to enter, easy to travel. But those who walk it to the end find only eternal death. It's so easy to travel because we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We're born with the carnal nature since the fall of Adam and Eve. And so we are, have you ever noticed a little child can tell you a lie? Have you ever noticed a little child can throw a fit? Where did they learn that? It came from carnal nature. And so it seems to be so easy. We're already kind of started out on the broad road, and we look around and everybody seems to be going that direction. You ever been walking in a crowd and turn around and try to go the other way? Well, I'm giving this up. I'm going the way they're going. And Jesus is saying that's the way it is. But the end of life to those who walk the broad and the easily walked road, the road of worldliness, the end of their path is eternal death. But the narrow path, hard to find, difficult to walk, Jesus is telling us that each of us have to make a decision. Which direction are you going to walk? Which path are you going to walk on? Which end of the journey do you want to obtain? The end of the journey of those who find the narrow gate, the one that's hard to get in, the one that is hard to walk the path. It's not easy. You have to work at it. The end of that path is eternal life. Tell me today, which end do you want? That depends on which road you're willing to walk. Two choices in life. The charge is forceful. Turn from the wide gate, which is worldliness. Search for and find and enter the narrow gate. The narrow gate is not easy to find. The wide gate is the world. The narrow gate is the kingdom of heaven. Which one do you want to walk toward? The wide gate stands for four things that can be said about it. There is not a single hindrance to entering the wide gate. In other words, Jesus is not there building a fence and saying, "You don't want to go in here." How many know you're made a free moral agent? You have a choice in life as to what kind of life you want to live. You have the ability. God made you with the ability to choose to live the life you want to live. And it's up to you and I to choose. And in this wide road and this wide gate, there's nothing there to hinder you from going right on down. You can easily walk that path. But remember the end results. Nothing keeps a person from entering it. If it is as a person naturally stands before this wide gate that is open for transverse. Plenty of people, Jesus said, can enter and are entering its wide doors at any given time. Many, Jesus said, are thereon. Plenty of company. You can always find somebody else there. Plenty of company who want to do the things that are easy to do. The things of the world. Just look around. What Jesus is literally saying here, the road to hell is an easy road. The road to hell is wide open. And the road to hell is lined up with hundreds and thousands and millions of people. There are far more walking that road than there are those who are willing to walk the narrow path. It appears to be the only gate to enter, because there are so many people going in there and there is so much activity going on. You remember somebody said, when you go to Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? Not true with this road. And I've been thinking this is coming to pass even in our political realm. Be sure, somebody said, be sure your sins will find you out. Easy to sin. How many know it's easy to do what the flesh desires? You go to buffet, it's easy to overeat. They keep putting it out there. They keep saying, come and get it. Hello? It's easy to do the things the flesh craves. It's easy to listen to the pride of life, the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. Anybody here ever had any problem with the lust of the flesh?
Amen.
Oh, come on. Nobody but me and Doug? Anybody here had any problem with the lust of the flesh? You ladies, I know. You come and you see them handsome hunks all around you and you're bug-eyed and saying, wow. See, men don't have that problem. I just told one there, didn't I? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All is appealing and calls us. And we desire to go after it. It's easy to do it. But if you're going to walk the straight and narrow to eternal life, you have to forsake the crowd. You have to turn around and go the other direction. Brother Al, I think we need the air back on.
That's a good thought, brother.
Last of all, the wide gate is wide enough to include all. All philosophies, all beliefs, no matter how extreme, all appetites, all passions, all liberties, license, all sin, all selfishness, all of it is inclusive. I heard the other day where the LBG whatever, they want to add another letter on the end now, E, for people who want to have sex with the earth. Duh. Somebody's full of dirt.
Amen, brother.
Amen. But everything on this path is included. Live as you please. Do what you want. It doesn't matter. We're all headed in the same direction. And yes, that is true. But the end result is hell. Listen to the words of Paul. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, sexual immorality, uncleanness, impurity, thought and motives, lasciviousness, lustful pleasures. Now, those who want the right to be able to have sex with whoever they please are now pressing for sexual appetites with animals. That should be legal. They're saying it should be legal. It should be part of our culture. And Paul, where are we headed? As a culture, as a society. That's lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, jealousy, wrath, outburst of anger. Kill whoever you want. Somebody does you wrong in the job, go home, get a gun, come back and shoot them. That's the kind of thing. Strife, selfish ambition, seditions or dissension, heresies, division, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and such like. Paul says, of the which I tell you before, as also have told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's the broad road. That's the ones that are going, and everybody seems to be going in that direction. Now the narrow gate is so narrow, one has to search to find it. This says several things to us. Number one, we have to turn from the wide gate. How many want to go and find the way to eternal life?
Yeah.
That means you have to turn your back on the old ways of life. You have to turn your back on some of the people you've been running with. Brother West, when he got saved many years ago, 30 some years ago, he had a man who came to his house every Saturday night. They drank together, they did their thing together, and every Saturday night for years he came. The week that Brother West gave his life to Jesus and changed his life, that man missed that Saturday and has never been back. When you accept the walking the narrow road, the road of Jesus, the road to eternal life, you can kiss a lot of your friends and maybe even relatives goodbye. They don't want to walk it. They don't want to go that direction. Matter of fact, they'll tell you you've gotten crazy over religion. They'll tell you you've gotten fanatic. They'll tell you you're fell off the deep end. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody Somebody shout.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The narrow road is not easy to find, but it means that if you look for it, if you find it, then you have to turn your back on the broad road and go in the opposite direction. We must search for the narrow gate and seek it out diligently. We must enter immediately when we find the narrow gate. Don't be putting it off. Don't be setting it aside. Well, one of these days, I had a man on the Eastern Shore, a farmer. I invited him to church time after time. Big farmer, thousands of acres he tilled. And he said, I'm going to come one of these days. I'm going to come. He did, but in a box. He filled the church up, but he didn't know anything about it. He had waited too long. He had gone too far. When you have the opportunity to get in that narrow gate, to get on the right way, to follow the path to eternal life, you've got to get it done. I think I see that on the back of windows all the time, going down the road, get her done. If you're going to serve God, get her done. Don't be dilly-dallying around with the world. There's no middle path again. You can't walk the narrow and the broad and bring them together. You have to choose one or the other. How does a person enter into the narrow gate? Number one, you have to repent.
Amen.
How many here have ever truly repented?
Yes, amen.
I mean, you've said to God, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Huh? Now, you know, there's been a few times when I got in trouble with Linda. Don't get to meddling there. And so, I knew if I wanted supper, if I wanted anything from her, then I had to get this settled. And there would be some time I'd say, I'm sorry, honey. But she knew. Didn't come from down deep inside. How many of you have ever been sorry because you got caught? If you wouldn't have got caught, you wouldn't have been sorry. Uh-huh. And so we're only sorry to save our heads, amen? When we're talking repentance here, we're not talking about false repentance. I've seen people come to the altar and shed all kinds of crocodile tears and get up and go right back out and do the same old things over again. Were they sincere? I don't believe so. They were sorry for the moment, but they really hadn't found that deep conviction of how wrong I really am. And I need to say to God, I am absolutely sorry for the way I have. Do you know that when you commit sin, you are guilty of nailing the nails into Jesus' hand afresh and anew? You are guilty of taking the whip in your hand and lashing the back of Jesus, crucifying Him all over again. So every time you are disobedient to God, you are lashing the back of Jesus. Hello?
Yeah.
Real repentance. True repentance is meaningful and comes from the heart. Listen to the words of Jesus. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The words of Christ. Listen to Acts. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. I like that kind of repentance. When we've knelt before God and we have all given our all to Him, and we have truthfully said, Lord, I am honestly sorry from the depth of my heart for the sins that I've committed and how I've offended You. And when that kind of confession and repentance comes forth, guess what? There comes a fresh new blessing from the altars of heaven. That make you a brand new person in Christ Jesus. You have to be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, you can't continue to be the same person. Hello? Well, I believe I read in the book someplace where it says you become a new creation.
Yes.
Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You're not the same old person. I heard Jimmy Swaggart years ago say, when you get really saved, even the dog and cat know it. Amen. The old life is dead. The old life is gone. The Apostle Paul said, crucify the flesh. If I came in here with a wooden cross someday and a bunch of nails and I told you to lay down on it and a big hammer and I'm going to nail you to the cross, what would you say? No, I'm leaving this place. Paul said, crucify. It's not easy, but it's something you have to do. If you've been used to doing the fleshly things and you've been used to fulfilling the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it means you have to bring this old flesh under subjection. God doesn't always come and take it away from you. There's times when you have to say, no, I'm not doing it.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Just want to make sure everybody's hearing me. A person must stoop and bow down. Become as a little child. Jesus said, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Little child has faith in their father and their mother. Little child will jump from the table into their arms, give a leap. They know mom and dad's going to catch them. The little child has undeniable faith. And so must we in Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't know how it all works. I only know that if I trust Him, I believe Him, I humble myself, I repent, I surrender my life to be made a brand new person as a little child, then I will receive the kingdom of heaven. A person must strip down and put off the old man. Listen to Paul in Ephesians. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, there's a whole sermon right there. That you put on a new man, the new man which after God is created in righteousness, truth, and holiness. Who puts him on? You do. You are the boss. You have to tell the old man what to do. You have to say to the old man, you're living a righteous life. You are going to be true and holy to God by renewing your mind. Where was your mind when you were in the world?
Oh, in sin.
In the gutter. Hello?
Amen.
I had a man on this trip to Africa. He was a Persian. He was kicked out of Iran when he was 17. And he found out I was a pastor, and he kind of sought me out. He admitted he was a wretched sinner, and there was no hope for him. And I kept, you know, telling him there Jesus loved him and Jesus. But something happened on the trip, and he thought it was really funny. Happened between the animals. And he made some remarks to me, and I had to let him know. My ears is not for that kind of garbage. I want to listen to the things that are wholesome, things that are true, things that are holy. He asked me, "What's your favorite book?" I said, "The Bible." Oh, wow. He wasn't expecting that one. But we have to take a stand. We have to make the faculties of our body. How in the world are you tempted by the lust of the eyes? By what you see. Who can control what you see?
You.
Huh? Are you tempted by the lust of the flesh? Your appetites. Who says three chicken legs is enough? I had three the other night. And I said, "That's enough." There was a fourth one in the bin. But I said, "No, won't work." Hello? We have the choice to govern what our eyes see. Used to sing a little chorus. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above who is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Hello?
Yeah.
Who has control? You do. So you have to strip down. Paul says, putting away lying, speaking every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. We've got to say no. Remember Jesus and the temptation in the wilderness? Did the devil come and tempt him? Yes, in all three ways. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And what did Jesus say each time? Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. Not going to have a part of it. Not going to do anything about it. Amen. And so Paul is telling us we need to bring this old flesh under subjection. A person must struggle. Struggle against the flesh. Paul said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." You have control. The devil doesn't put the bottle to your lips. The devil doesn't put the cigarette to your lips. Hello? The devil doesn't get the money out of your pocket to buy the stuff you shouldn't buy. Amen? Yeah. It's you and you alone, and you have the authority and the power and the anointing once you surrender your life to Christ to say no to the devil and tell him to get behind you in the name of Jesus. The end results, I'm about finished. We had some extra things today. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How many want life?
Yes, amen.
That means then you've got to be willing to bring this old flesh under subjection. You have to be willing to walk the narrow path. You have to be willing to say no to the world and no to the devil. And guess what? The old world, they'll just gather around you and tempt you like nothing. Amen? I've worked construction work in the past. And I know. know what kind of conversations go on construction work. I worked in a trailer factory one summer. The summer I got married, I worked in a trailer factory in Greencastle, Pennsylvania. And all the other religious guys in the factory, they got their lunchbox at noontime, went back in the corner with their Bible and hid back there reading their Bible and what have you. That's good. That's all right. I got my lunchbox and went up and sat down right in the middle of the whole bunch. I was a preacher. And then they knew the right words to say. Every lunchtime, one of them would bring up sex. One of them would start cursing, and then one of them would start telling a dirty story, and then they'd look around out of their eyes to see what I was doing. One of them said one day something about sex, and I said, "Isn't it wonderful God made it and created it? It's dirty guys with rotten minds that make it evil." Amen. Pen could have dropped and you'd have heard it. But before that summer was over, one of the roughest ones in the whole group started coming to church. Brought his whole family, had 12 kids. Brought his whole family, started coming to church. You've got to stand in the midst of the world and declare the glory of God and live the example in front of them. Amen? Amen. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You're walking the road you're walking. Either you're walking the broad road or you're walking the narrow road. You've got the choice. Which one have you chosen? Are you willing to put forth the effort? Are you willing to go through the difficulty? Are you willing to fight the good fight? Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. It's not for cowards to serve God. It's for strong people. People who are willing to be brave and courageous in the face of this old world. Stand for what's true and stand for what's right. I'm a Republican. Cat's out of the box now. But I've got a Republican lady who's running for the House of Representatives that I'm supposed to vote for on Tuesday. I have tried and tried and tried to find out what her stance is on killing babies. Finally, last night, I got through. And I sent her, "What's your stance?" She told me she's pro-choice. The government has no business in dealing with your life and what you want to do with it. This morning, I wrote her back. And I said, "Then you're telling me that it's all right to kill little unborn children, and nobody should mess around with their right to life." And she wrote back, "You got it right." Guess who I'm not voting for, even though she is a Republican.
Amen.
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 Doesn't matter. It's standing for what's right. It's standing for what's holy. It's standing for what's true. It's standing for what's in the book. The crowd can go with the stream. Have you ever noticed any old dead fish can float downstream with the crowd? But it takes a live one with a backbone to go against the current. And Jesus is saying to us here, you need to make a stand. The narrow road, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. How many want to go to heaven? How many want to walk into eternal life with Jesus?
Amen.
You have just voted for the narrow gate. You have just voted to walk the narrow path. You have just voted to walk the difficult walk, fight the good fight, and keep the faith.
Amen.
Heads bowed, eyes closed. Anybody here need to repent? Anybody here need to be born again? If you need to repent, this altar's open right now. If you need to come to Christ and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I have sinned against you. And I have sinned against heaven. And I am sorry for my sins. And I come to ask you, forgive me. Cleanse me. Purify me. Anybody. Right now, old-fashioned altar call. Get up out of your seat. Come on down here this morning. It's not a shame to repent and get right with God. It's a glorious thing to get right with God. It's a glorious thing to lay down the old life and pick up a new. It's a marvelous thing to trade the broad road for the narrow that leads to eternal life. Anyone, you want to make your way down here to this old-fashioned altar and say, God, I want to be yours. I want to walk the path you've given me to walk. Jesus, you know every heart. You know every soul. You know everything about everybody. You know what's in the thoughts and what's in the intents of every person sitting in here, in their heart, in their mind, in their soul. You know it all. And Lord, if there's anybody who needs to switch from the broad road to walk this narrow path, help them to make that brave and courageous decision right here, right now, in the name of Jesus. Help them to say, I'm sorry, and mean it. Help them, Lord, to repent and be born again, a new person in Christ Jesus, so they can have eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, you going the way I'm going?
Amen.